Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Over the Thanksgiving time period, we looked at a Thanksgiving message last Sunday night, and perhaps you were not able to be there for that service, but if you're in the habit of listening to messages in review, you can listen to a Thanksgiving message from last Sunday night. Tuesday night, we had a tremendous time to just reflect and reflect on the Psalms and then to sing a number of different songs that are connected with the themes of those Psalms. And so we had a wonderful time Tuesday night before we parted ways and went to the Thanksgiving holiday. Tonight we have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to give thanksgiving for the greatest gift that's ever been given. And so I trust if you're able to be back in your place tonight at 5 o'clock, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Luke chapter number 8, I want to just rehearse something with you. As we look at these stories in the Gospel of Luke and other passages in the Word of God, I know that there are times where you would look at a message and you'd say, okay, Pastor, this is on this topic, and I'm not currently dealing with that topic in my life. Let me encourage you on a couple of levels. First of all, I think it's a good habit to be in to take notes, because there will be times that you would desire to refer back to something that we've looked at together before. And you can go back and you say, okay, I remember that story, I remember that illustration, I remember that connection there in the passage of Scripture. And so perhaps you'd make it a habit or begin a new habit of taking notes, and you'd be able to refer back to these things. And so you'd say, on this level, Pastor, I'm benefited by the messages each and every week. Or perhaps it's a message related to the matter of salvation, and you say, Pastor, I know the Lord is my Savior. Let me encourage you to take these different illustrations in the Word of God and the things that people faced, and then begin to think about the people that are around you on a daily basis. We just came out of a message last Sunday morning that was related to the matter of fear keeping someone from coming to Christ. Perhaps you know someone that is right now gripped with fear over the matter of coming to Christ. We also looked at those that were more concerned about finances than they were faith in Christ. And so perhaps you have a coworker, a family member, a friend, and they are more gripped with finances than they are on the matter of coming to faith in Christ. And so just because of the immediate time frame of the message being preached, you'd say, okay, I'm not in that condition, so I don't have any reason to draw application of the message. I pray that each and every week we'll take the Scriptures and we'll kind of tuck them away and make them the spiritual tools that we'll use throughout the week, that we might be a help to someone else. We come to this passage here in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 50, and I'm going to read the extended section and draw in what is going on in the circumstances, and then we'll look at this matter that is before us this morning. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. Now, do you remember last Sunday morning, we had an entire community that rejected him and said, leave us, depart from us. So far as we know, Jesus never went that way again. But now he crosses back over in the Sea of Galilee, not to a group that is going to reject him, but to a group that is anticipating him, a group that is receiving him. And the Bible says the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Now, it's not a coincidence that we see these two things tagged together here in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is the physician, and we understand his understanding of these medical needs. And so he tags together two stories. One, that of a young lady that is 12 years old, that has reached this stage of your life, 12 years old, and she is gripped by an illness. And at the same time, there's another lady that's in the group, and in that same length of time, of that 12 years, that is the picture of that young lady, in that same 12-year time frame, we find a lady that has been gripped with a health issue. And the Bible says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Let's pray and ask the Lord's direction in this message in healing the woman with an issue of blood. Lord, thank you for the privilege that I have to speak before these folks. Thank you for their investment this morning. I pray that this will be a help for each one. Perhaps we have guests with us today that have needs in their life, spiritually, emotionally, physically. We pray that you would guide and direct in their hearts. I pray for our membership and our church attenders, Lord. We pray for those that are watching via live stream and others as well. Lord, we pray that the message would find its way into each heart and that it would be used for your honor and glory. Direct me in the things that I say. May this be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. What do we learn from this story as it relates to this crowd and to the coming of Christ? Again, he's passed over to the other side. He's been rejected by the people there. He's now come back, and the people receive him. The whole multitude is so excited, and they've been waiting for him. They've been anticipating him, and now they gladly receive him. We find in this story a connection between two different individuals. One is a 12-year-old girl, and her father comes to seek help from the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is a lady that has had an issue of blood for 12 years, the same amount of time as this young lady that stands in need of healing. They're both put together here from verses 40 through 56, but we're going to break them down into two different messages. We'll look at the one this Sunday morning and then look at the other in the coming week. First of all, we look at this issue, this woman with an issue of blood. We see the Lord's desire to meet the need of each one individually. This morning, you sit here not as a group before the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. You sit here this morning as an individual in the eyes of Almighty God. And so he looks across this auditorium and he sees us not as a group that's gathered together. He knows the need of each individual heart. Wouldn't it be awesome if I could preach from the standpoint of having perfect knowledge of everybody's individual need this morning? You know what, folks? I don't have that kind of perfect knowledge. But I believe the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God can direct into the need in your life today. We find in this story a woman that has had an issue of blood for 12 years. Would you notice with me, number one, the exhausted resources? The exhausted resources. The Bible says the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 26, the Bible says that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. And then listen to this. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Number one this morning, as we look at this woman with an issue of blood, we find exhausted resources. Boy, I tell you what, in this day and age, we understand the nature of medical costs, do we not? Have you ever had any kind of lengthy stay in a hospital and they send you the itemized bill and you're looking down through it and you're saying, "I paid $500 for a bedpan. I paid $800 for an aspirin." I'm making that up. but you're looking back through these items and you're thinking to yourself, I can't believe how expensive these medical coverages are. You went down to the urgent care and you had them check out a need. And as you're there and having them check out a need, they say, okay, thank you, have a good day, you're fine. And you walk away and they say, that'll be $100 and some odd. We all understand the nature of medical costs and medical coverages. And what's amazing is that here in 2019, we think it's a new problem, but it's not. It's not. This goes all the way back, and the Bible says that this lady has exhausted her resources. Let me define it in three ways. Number one, she spent it all. Any extra income beyond the sustenance of food and life, she spent it all that she might find a cure. She, number one, spent it all. Number two, she suffered through it all. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm in a position, perhaps you're in a position, where at different times, in different ways, you'll hear all kinds of different remedies. You know, if it's the third Tuesday of the month, and you take your right arm and touch your left ear with your left leg raised, and you swallow this pill the same very time, that it will cure what ails you. You ever seen those kinds of things on the internet? You ever seen those kinds of things that pop up and they say, this person had this matter, and because they took this, they were cured in X number of days. There's all kinds of things like this out there. They say, hey, go to this guru, go to this individual, eat this fruit, don't eat too much of this, go on this diet, take this in, don't take this in, watch what you're taking here, give up these things. And there's all different kinds of people out. Oh, they've got the plan. It's scary when they're a part of a pyramid plan and they want you to buy into their plan, right? And they're trying to get you to purchase or to buy. This woman had spent it all and she'd suffered through it all. And it's interesting that Mark says, and she not only did not get better, she was actually getting worse. Boy, that's tough. That's a tough thing in our lives. My wife went through a time where she was struggling with her knee, and she was concerned that through an athletic event and playing and different things that she had done something to her knee. So medical individuals say to us, well, we just need to take an x-ray of it. And we're like, okay, let's take an x-ray. And then they came back and said, well, the x-ray wasn't really clear. We probably should do a CAT scan. So they brought the CAT in, and it looked over my wife's knee and didn't say anything. So we tried the CAT scan. They said, well, it didn't really show it definitively. We just really need to do an MRI. And so I said, okay, we'll do the MRI. So the doctor says, well, the MRI, it looks like it is this way, but I'll know when I get into surgery. And I'm serious. We've tried the x-rays. We've tried the CAT scan. We've tried the MRI, and he says, but I'll know it, and I'll repair it, and I'll deal with it all once we get into the surgery. And you know, she had surgery, and the doctor came by me as she's coming out of recovery and said, man, your wife has the knees of someone in their early 20s. And I'm like, well, do I get a reimbursement for the x-rays, the CAT scan, the MRI, and the surgery now that you know that my wife has good knees? And then she comes out of it, she wakes up from the anesthesia and everything like this, and I tell her, hey, good news. What? He fixed it? No, good news, you've got knees as a 20-year-old. And she says, well, then why am I still in pain, right? Perhaps you've been in that kind of a circumstance. Perhaps you've been through that kind of scenario. Perhaps you have family members that have exhausted all of their resources trying to get an answer, going to every medical professional and every expert. You've done it all. And you say, not only am I not better, I'm getting worse. She'd spent it all. She'd suffered through it all. And the third thing we see in these exhausted resources that she is actually separated from it all. Now, I don't have time to take the length of your passage, but if you're taking notes this morning, write down Leviticus chapter 15, verses 1 through 33, and perhaps sometime in your devotions, go and read that chapter as it relates to an issue of blood and your connection to the rest of society. Basically, while you were in these circumstances, you were an outcast of society. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 15 that if a woman hath an issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart for 7 days. This woman has dealt with this issue of blood for 12 years. And she's exhausted all of her resources. And if you take time to read through Leviticus chapter 15, you can understand the gravity of what this woman is dealing with as she now comes, probably in some kind of covert manner, that she might meet with Jesus Christ. I've done everything else and nothing has happened. I have no other resources. I've exhausted it all. But I'm going to try to see Jesus. She'd spent it all. She'd suffered through it all. She has now been separated from it all. She's exhausted her resources. Would you look at the next thing in verses 44 to 46? The Bible says that we have an embarrassed response. The Bible says there in these verses that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." This woman had exhausted her resources, and now she comes with an embarrassed response. No doubt she's probably covered herself. No doubt she's probably hidden her identity. No doubt in some way she's just kind of mingling in the crowd. It's like it would be for us on a subway on the day of the Nats parade. You remember what it's like to get in and out of the city on those kinds of days, and you said to yourself, "Well, I'll make it in and out before the crowd gathers." I remember our sons and I, we went down to the Capitals parade, and I thought, man, this will be just a great time of fun. We'll take the Metro. We'll make it smooth and easy. And we got into the place where we had to buy our Metro tickets, and there were probably 500 people waiting in line. Imagine this great crowd, and you're just kind of shuttled and moved by the crowd. You say, "I didn't have any sway or any say." Perhaps you rode the Metro, or you were in Washington, D.C. on a July 4th celebration. You know what I'm talking about. You're more moved by the crowd than you are moved by your own desires and actions. But this woman who's exhausted every other avenue says, "Whatever I have to do, I'm going to get to Jesus Christ." But she is entirely embarrassed when Jesus speaks up and says, "Who touched me?" I want you to see this embarrassed response. Number one, she's hidden in the crowd. She's hidden in the crowd. The crowd had thronged the Lord Jesus Christ. It says it here in verses 44 to 46. But she's hoping, and listen to this, she's hoping for minimal contact. I don't even want to point out the need. I don't want to draw attention to it. I just want to get close enough to Jesus that I might touch the hem of his garment. Let me say more about that in this embarrassed response. She touched the border of his garment. The border of the Lord's garment was one of the four tassels that were always a part of the Jewish mantle. When worn, the garment was so arranged that one of the tassels hung down over the shoulder at the back. There was a certain distinctiveness about them. It was used in the Levitical code, and the woman in the story decided to steal up behind Jesus and touch the tassel. She would not touch him, for her touch was a contamination. And again, we learned that from Leviticus chapter 15. But imagine if it was such that you're just being moved by the crowd and you get close enough and she reaches out her hand and touches this hem or this tassel on the garment and immediately she's cured. And upon being cured, the Lord Jesus Christ makes the statement, "Who's touched me?" Now, we've seen this in recent Wednesday night messages, but let me bring everybody up to speed. Jesus Christ never asks a question because he needs the information. He does not ask the question because he does not have ultimate knowledge of everything that's going on around him and everybody that's nearby. But in this embarrassed response, she is so concerned that the touch would contaminate, and so she does not want to step forward, and she cannot believe that the Lord notices that simple touch of the tassel. And yet Jesus turns around and looks and looks and looks. "Who touched me?" Look at the response of Peter and the others that are gathered there. The Bible says in verse number 45, when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Lord, it's impossible to know which different ones touched you." I mean, everybody's so packed in here together. Do you remember the story of the man that was let down through the roof of the house? And the Bible says that they could not bring him in because of the large volume of people in the house. So they go and they take the tiles off the roof and let him down through that. Do you remember other stories like that? And they're so pressed in there. The men are saying, "Lord, it's impossible for us to know who touched you." And this woman has a very embarrassed response and cannot believe that Jesus acknowledges that someone has touched him. The Bible says in verse number 46, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Well, we have a woman that has exhausted her resources. We have a woman who has an embarrassed response, and she wants to stay hidden in the crowd. But when Jesus points it out, we find a third thing in this woman. And it's an earnest reverence. Look what the Bible says in verse number 47. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately." Now, if you and I could just kind of put ourselves into that woman's position for just a moment. You've exhausted every resource you have. You've endured this for 12 years. You've not improved at all. In fact, you've gotten worse. You've come up with a plan and you've said, "If I could just touch something related to Jesus Christ, I just know it would make a difference." And so you set out leaving your house. Perhaps you've got a wrap over your face. Perhaps you're just trying to blend into the crowd. And now you realize that the crowd is actually getting you closer and closer to the Lord. And people are pressed around you. And now you're coming into close proximity and Jesus' back is to you. And so you reach up and you touch the tassel. You know immediately that you've been healed. She could tell a difference in her body. And imagine that she now wants to make a quick exit, but she can't. There's no quick entrance into this, and there's no quick exit, but we would have to think that she turns herself and is attempting to get away when Jesus speaks up and says, "Who touched me?" And now all of a sudden, the veil is now even more covering in her own mind. "Please don't reveal that it's me." And perhaps she's still close enough with the great crowd to hear the conversation between Peter and the Lord when he says, "How in the world can we pick one person out of this huge crowd and identify that person as the one that's touched you?" So perhaps she had every intention of walking away and getting away from the scenario as quickly as she could. She knew she'd been healed. She knew that she was changed. She knew that this had made all the difference, had made all the sacrifice worth it. But Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And so she comes before the Lord with earnest reverence. She came trembling. Have you ever trembled? There have been times in my life where I trembled. If you've trembled, you can feel it in your lip, right? You can perhaps see it on the hair of your arm. You've trembled. Perhaps it's the chill in the air. Perhaps it's the hair on the back of your neck that's standing up. Perhaps it's a matter that's just caused you to tremble. This woman comes to him trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him, listen to this, before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Can you imagine again, as we put ourselves back into her position, she's exhausted all of her resources. She has every intention of touching Jesus and then making a quick getaway. Nobody will ever know that it's me. Perhaps she has some kind of veil. Perhaps she has some kind of head covering. No one's noticing this. She barely touches the Lord Jesus Christ and his garment, and she's immediately healed. She's hoping that she can just now get away. No one will ever know. They'll just know she's been healed, but Jesus speaks up, "Who touched me?" Right now is the point of decision. You see, I believe with all of my heart that this lady right now was at the point of decision for her future and all eternity. She could have continued to walk away. Yes, she would have gone away healed. But she would have missed the most valuable part of the story. And we find that here in these verses as she in reverence, experiences three wonderful things. Mark chapter 5, verse number 33, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She was healed physically. Praise the Lord. Nothing more to spend on the matter. Praise the Lord. No more suffering. Praise the Lord. No more shunning. No more being put out of society. No more of everything that Leviticus chapter 15 says. I'm healed. But she had an earnest reverence, and it's exhibited in three things. Number one, her humility. The Bible says she bowed in reverence. She came trembling and falling down before him. I've said this in recent days, in recent messages, no man comes to salvation except he come humbly. If a man will not accept himself as God really knows him, a man will never come to Jesus Christ. You see, I must understand that I must be humbled in the eyes of Almighty God. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We see her humility in this earnest reverence. We see her honesty. The Bible says she told him all the truth. There's no covering of the matter. There's nothing hidden to anybody else. She comes clean. She tells the entirety of the story. And she just says, Lord, this is who I was. This is what I've done. This is everything that I've spent. This is exactly what I touched. Lord, this is all of the case. She comes to him humbly. She comes to him honestly. And she is healed. And she testifies in public. The Bible says, and how she was healed immediately. Earnest reverence. We find this lady that has exhausted all of her resources. We find this lady who has an embarrassed response. I just want to touch the hem of his garment and then make a quick getaway. But when Jesus speaks up and says, who touched me? She comes forward in earnest reverence, which brings me to number four, and it's in verse number 48. Encouraged redemption. The Bible says, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Do you know, my friend, you can live a perfectly physically fit life and have everything that health and wellness will offer you in this life. And without Jesus Christ, you will be lost in your sins and go to hell for all eternity. Pastor, I can run so many miles and I don't even get tired. Pastor, I'm on a perfect diet. I have the perfect weight. I have the perfect connection between my body fat and my wellness. I have the perfect size for my height, my weight. I'm the picture of health, Pastor. Do you know that that doesn't matter in eternity? This woman was healed by Almighty God and experienced the physical healing from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she could have walked away from this exchange and said, "That's all I need." But my friend, it's nowhere near enough. Because there was actually another need in her life, and it was redemption for all eternity. And in this story, when she comes back to the Lord with this reverence, we find her humility, we find her honesty. She lays it all out before the Lord. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, stop trying to cover sin, stop trying to coddle sin, stop trying to just skirt it, get away from it, to dumb it down, and just come clean with Almighty God. You say, "Lord, this is my state. Lord, there's nothing that I have to offer. There's none of my own righteousness that is worthy of heaven. There's none of my own sacrifice. There's none of my own character, my own morality that is worthy of heaven. Lord, I'm a sinful, wretched sinner, and I can do nothing to obtain eternal life." Jesus encouraged redemption. "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." We first of all see in this earnest or encouraged redemption the matter of faith. Trusting someone else to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. There were many thronging him. There were many that were gathered around him. And in fact, I dare say, there were many healed physically by him that did not go away healed spiritually. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Faith, trusting someone else to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. It is not what you have done plus what Jesus did that grants eternal life. It is what Christ did plus nothing. And I trust him. And him alone. We first of all find faith. We secondly find forgiveness. Isn't that a wonderful word? Forgiveness. Boy, I love to hear someone say, "I forgive you." Forgiveness. The Lord forgives this woman. "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Forgiveness. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Jesus will forgive us of our sins when we by faith trust him alone for our salvation. But there's a third thing that we find in this encouraged redemption. It's not just faith. It's not just forgiveness. But here it is, number three, freedom. Freedom. Can you imagine what it was like for this lady to receive freedom from the shackles of her sickness? Perhaps you've had some kind of surgery where you had to have a body cast or a cast on a leg. Perhaps you've had some kind of restrictions in a hip replacement or knee replacement. Perhaps you've had something done in your neck and you had to have a neck brace. Perhaps you've been cast and you had to have an arm cast because it was broken or something along those lines. And you can recall back to the nature of the bondage that you were in while you were wearing that paraphernalia. "Oh, Pastor, I remember," and you tell me the story. Oh, Pastor, I remember the brace. I remember the cast. I remember the restrictions. I remember the walker. I remember this or that. And you look back and you say, oh, the day I got that off was just such a freeing day. This woman has exhausted all of her resources, and this was a day of freedom because she was released from that shackle of sickness. But more than that, my friend, would you notice that the Bible says, thy faith hath made thee whole. This woman had never been better physically, and she'd never been better spiritually. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Would you look at those words from the Lord Jesus Christ? Daughter, you're in the family of God now. Go in peace. Boy, for all that she had suffered, for all that she had done, she now receives not only freedom from the shackles of her sickness, but she received freedom from the shackles of her sin. We just saw this in this very same chapter in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 21, when Jesus said, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Do you want to be in the family of God? Listen to God's word and obey it. Listen to God's word and obey it. You know, I have a biological brother that's almost 3 years older than me. And I have a biological sister that's almost 3 years younger than me. But you know, I have a lot of brothers and sisters. And I look forward to seeing so many of them every single time we meet together because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Our spirits testify to each other. And so we see the smile and the handshake. And we testify that even though we may be from different cultures and even in some cases speak different languages, we testify that Christ has made a difference in our lives and we've been adopted into a new family. We've been freed from the shackles that once enslaved us. And we can go in peace. Daughter, you are delivered. You will never be in bondage again. One commentator said it this way: had this woman gone away as stealthily as she came, she would have gone away but half blessed. She would have touched his garment and been healed physically, but she would not have tasted his love and been made eternally happy. Perhaps you've been blessed by the knowledge of the scriptures, but you've never been born again. Perhaps you've been healed by some form of illness, by some tragic event, by some accident, and you look back and you say, yes, I was healed. Perhaps you were brought out of the pit and out of a difficult circumstance, out of the foxhole. And so physically you'd say, boy, I'm so thankful for the professionals that answered the need and the call and met my physical sickness. Would you understand this morning that there's so much more that can be had if you would meet Jesus Christ today? You see, you can be delivered from the shackles of your sin, and you can be made eternally whole. It's interesting, and when I think of this verse in conjunction with this story, I couldn't help but just put this verse in and say, you know what, I think this is very specific as it relates to this lady. This lady that was exhausted with her resources, but who in the end found redemption. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, and here it is. Would you put yourself in the part of this lady? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. for me. As we close the message, perhaps you know an individual right now that is literally exhausted as it relates to a physical illness. Perhaps there's something that is keeping them from totally coming clean with Almighty God. But you'd be able to use this illustration in their life and say, hey, go to this passage with me and look at this lady. Oh, she was embarrassed. She just thought if she could just touch the hem of his garment, just the corner, just the tassel, that would be all that was necessary. And perhaps you will one day find some kind of physical healing. Perhaps you'll find some kind of medication or surgery that will bring physical relief. But my friend, if you do not stick around and hear the message of salvation, you walk away half blessed. If you leave the sermon and the services today and say, my, that was nice, but you leave without the Savior, you're leaving without an eternal home in heaven. My, what a story for a lady to say, I met the Son of God, and I know this, he loved me, and he gave himself for me. My friend, you can say the very same thing today. Because Jesus loves you, and he invites you to come to him for eternal salvation. If you just have a head knowledge, it's not enough. It's faith, it's forgiveness, it's freedom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you take the words that have been humbly submitted before the ears of these people, and would you, through the Holy Spirit's power, drive them into each heart? I pray that I've been faithful to the heavenly calling. I believe that you directed in the message this morning. You knew exactly who would be here, who would be under the sound of the message, and you know the exact need. You do not see us as one great crowd. You see us as we are individually. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would right now bring individual conviction on the matter of salvation. There's one or more here today that's never been saved. Would you convict them right now? Help them to realize that they must humble themselves. They must be completely honest and say, Lord, I cannot do anything to earn salvation. I must come to you and to you alone. In the quietness of the invitation as it's about to come, we pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they might be eternally saved. Lord, I pray for that one this morning that does know you as their Savior, but they are battling with some kind of physical illness. Boy, when we read these kinds of stories, we think to ourselves, my, this woman was blessed because she was healed. But then we read stories like the Apostle Paul, and we find that he, in fact, was blessed and wasn't healed. The question is, what does God want me to do through the midst of my illness? How can I glorify his name as I walk through this trial? Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives over that matter. I pray for Christians as well in this time of invitation to kind of be taking a recording or a listing of the people that are unsaved around them. And perhaps it's not that someone won't come to Christ because of fear or because of finances. Perhaps they've yet to come to Christ and they're in a position much like this woman. And Lord, you'd help us to take the messages that are given each and every week and to put them in our spiritual tool chest. And to be able to walk out into a lost and dying world and say, you know what? I've got a friend that's in that very circumstance right now. They need Christ. We pray that you would accomplish your work in this time of invitation. Draw men to yourself that they might be saved. Work in the heart of each Christian as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.